Welcome back. Well, according to the World Bank, the cost of post-school education and training will more than double to over 172 billion rand by 2022, which the fiscal purse will not be able to carry and which will not result in more skills to the economy. In the meantime, Adam Habib's latest book, Rebels and Rage, reflects on the issues the fees must fall protest flared up after former President Jacob Zuma announced free higher education. And Adam joins us with his perspective on where things are headed in the tertiary education space. Thanks so much, Adam, for joining us in studio this evening. So you've outlined in your book how to achieve a truly progressive social change in South Africa if we are to reimagine the future of South Africa's higher education system. Before we focus on the latter, I want to take a look at the former and that triggering social change in South Africa. What are or what should the top three priority areas be?
So I think that firstly, we have to address inequality. I mean, I often debate with economists around this, and economists say to me that we shouldn't worry about what rich people are earning as long as poor people are doing better. But the problem with inequality is that people's sense of satisfaction is determined by the reference point. If they know people who are doing far better than themselves, they feel particularly aggrieved. And the real danger in a society of inequality is that it socially polarizes society and it politically polarizes society. And when you have a politically and socially polarized society, you aren't able to get the kinds of growth in the economy that you want. We've seen this in the mining industry. We've seen it so many other places. So that, it seems to me, is the first and singular biggest challenge. The second is poverty, obviously. We have to address poverty. It's a moral necessity. There are too many people who are just not surviving on what they get. And we need to ensure that they address that. The third and the most important, I think, to address both inequality and poverty is education.
Yeah.
You need to address it through primary and secondary. Clearly, we're just putting too little in early childhood development. We're not fixing up education in primary and secondary education. And at tertiary level, we have to start creating a level of stability. You actually can't address inequality, not in a digitized world like ours, without using the universities. And if you're going to use the universities, you need to do two things. Get access. People from poor communities must get access to your universities, but retain quality. Because if you don't retain quality, you throw the whole thing into a crisis.
Absolutely. So with that being the case then, and there being very little debate on the fact that it's access to education that does stand as the starting block to it all, Adam, in the interim, the big question is, can South Africa afford free tertiary education? Because as I said, in the prelude, the World Bank seems to think not.
Yeah. So I think it depends how you do it. And I think that the problem with much of the student movement and many of the politicians is they're going to try and see, can we do this overnight? And I'm not so sure it's possible. I just think that there are multiple demands on the public purse. You are giving, for instance, in 2015 and 2016, you started putting money in higher education. You started taking money out of early childhood development. Now, that's just silly, because if you don't get the pipeline right, you can't fix higher education itself. So it seems to me that the real question is, how do you do it? My suggestion, and actually it's largely in line with the Hare Commission, is that whether we like it or not, Jacob Zuma has already pronounced that those below 350,000 shall get a grant. I think we've got that layer. At Wits University, that's only 22%, 25% of our student base. And the vast majority of our student base is 65%, and they're the missing middle. What do we do about them is the really big issue. And it seems to me that what we have to start thinking through is the income contingent loan scheme. This is a loan scheme where you get a loan, when you start earning an income, you start paying back through the tax system. It exists in many other parts. I think in the long term, it will create a toxic debt crisis. But in the medium term, it allows us to resolve the challenge we're in. And then slowly, as you get growth rates emerging in the South African economy, you can start saying a certain proportion of that growth rate will be dedicated to increasing the grant component and reducing the loan component. So you try and do this over two decades, as opposed to trying doing it over 24 months.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem that I think we're just not thinking through.
Of course, this, as you say, works to not compromise universities' long-term sustainability, quality of education as well. Having said all of that, the challenge that is propped up comes with the rhetoric and emotion that comes along with how do we go about this. So how do you manage that and avoid a very volatile and flammable situation?
So I think that you're going to have to start engaging with political leadership. I mean, the problem is that the challenge of universities has been left to vice chancellors. No vice chancellor in the world can resolve the accommodation crisis or the inequality crisis or the access crisis. Vice chancellor's job is to ensure an enabling environment for teaching and learning. It's not to manage security. It's not to manage inequality. It's not to manage accommodation crisis. The problem is all of societal's ills are now being handed over to the university, and everybody is suggesting that we need to resolve this, and that's just impossible to do. So firstly, we need political leadership. The second, I hate saying it, but there has to be consequences for choices. If you land up burning a building at a university, you have to actually be put in jail. You cannot not be put in jail. That kind of, there has to be consequences for violent actions in our society. And it seems to me, after 2 billion rand worth of infrastructure burnt, not a single student is in jail. The ones that are in jail for having burnt police vans, not for the buildings. And that's the challenge. We have to have consequences for the choices that we make.
Let's leave it there. Adam, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Adam Habib is a VC of WITS and author of Rebels and Rage.